We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Welcome to the Cash Considerations Podcast, a Chicago Bulls podcast. Jason, you're back from Disney World. I thought you might be trapped there forever.
I am back. I was there a few extra days, more than expected. The old polar vortex had me stuck in Disney World. I guess there could be worse places you can be stuck in Disney World, even though it was like only like 50 degrees in Disney World for the couple extra days I was there. But that's definitely better than negative 50 degrees, and got to have a little more fun in Florida rather than being back in fucking frigid Chicago. But now I am back. It is a trade deadline week, so I'm really excited.
Bro, 50 degrees in Chicago today, it feels like it's summer. No one outside is wearing a coat. It's such a ridiculous temperature shift.
Balmy.
After, the negative 15 degree day that Jason left town for. But we are back to talk about the Bulls. The Bulls actually picked up a win this week. They beat Miami on Wednesday, 105-89. After our last podcast, that was a game where Bobby Portis just went straight ham. He went off for 26 points, 10 of 17 from the field. Bulls with a big second half to come back and beat the Heat on the road. That was a nice victory for the Bulls, honestly. They followed that up on Saturday with a loss against Charlotte, 125-118. Portis goes off again, this time for 33 points coming off the bench. Markkanen had a great game two against Charlotte. He goes off for 30 points on 8 of 13 shooting. Only goes 1 of 5 from 3, but great to see he was consistently getting to the foul line. 13 for 13 from the foul line. The Bulls just had no answer for Kemba Walker, though. Kemba, 37 points, 10 assists in that game, just torching Chris Dunn up and down the floor. But to be totally honest, Jason, the Bulls at this point, 12 and 41 on the season, I don't think anyone cares about the games that are actually going on. We care about the trade deadline because that's where basically all the fun the rest of this month is going to lie for the Bulls. So
yeah,
the Bulls did make a deal while you were away. And since our last podcast, the Bulls once again giving our podcast more free publicity, Jason, because they traded for cash considerations.
Yeah, that's the third trade for cash considerations this year in like the last month, basically. They just keep giving us all this fodder. It's fantastic. Thank you, Bulls. We don't have much to thank you for these days, but thank you for continuing to do this. This trade was with the Oklahoma City Thunder, who was also looking to, just like the Rockets were, to bail on some on their big luxury tax bill. And this time, the Bulls are getting back. I'm not sure how you say his name exactly.
Tirfe Luluau Cabarro.
Something like that. This time, I guess they're going to actually keep him instead of waving like they did Melo. Then they waived Melo as part of this deal to make the room. So RIP to the Melo era. Pour one out. We didn't get to see him go ham for like 40 shots like we were hoping for, like you called for the last time we talked. But the Melo era is over. But now, yeah, we got however the hell you say his name, Luau Cabarro. He's going to stick around, sounds like, for the end of the season. He was a first-round pick, I believe, of the Sixers a couple years ago. He's just never really been able to find his groove. So, like 6'6", athletic French guy, can't really shoot. But, the Bulls need depth, need players. Chandler Hutchinson's out for a while. Like, I guess you might as well give the guy a shot. So, at least this trade, at least for now, isn't purely cash considerations, although they are getting plenty of cash for it. At least they're going to give at least a young guy a shot. I really have no expectations for TLC, insert your no scrubs reference here, even though the dude is, for all intents and purposes, seems like a scrub. But I guess we'll see if he gets any playing time and if Boylan runs him out there for a bit.
Yeah, I actually liked TLC quite a bit when he was in the draft a few years ago. I wrote something on Bloggable that said, he was the guy who I wanted the Bulls to take when they ultimately took Denzel Valentine. So that hasn't really worked out for either party at this point. But Lulu Alcabaret, I saw something from Michael Levin of the Rights to Ricky Sanchez podcast, Sixers fan, basically authoritative voice on all things Sixers. And I saw him talking on Twitter and he basically said of TLC, there's no reason for him to be bad other than that he is. Like, he just hasn't really done anything. You know, you would think that he's a long wing. He can shoot a little bit. He's pretty good as a slasher. You would like to think that he could make a defensive impact, but he's made no defensive impact to this point in his career. Like you said, his shooting hasn't been great. Last year in 52 games, shot 33.5% from three on three attempts per game. Not terrible, but this year only 22% in limited minutes. He's also never shot above 40% from the floor. That's what he did as a rookie. Even in his second year with the Sixers, he only shot 37% from the floor. So the guy just hasn't been productive. 23 years old still. He'll be a unrestricted free agent. Yeah, unrestricted free agent this summer. I do have to say, though, I like this move for the Bulls, and I like that they're going to give him a look, because why not? I mean, to be able to have a potential 3-and-D wing, I think, is what the Bulls should be doing with their roster spaces right now. Yeah, it would have been nice if they could have taken a pick back or something in this, but I do like them getting a young prospect in TLC, and I also like the move they made for Wayne Selden, because Wayne Selden was great against the Heat. He had 20 points in that game. He hit 4-6 from three. He also had 8 assists. Wayne Selden looked terrific in that game for the Bulls. That was a game in which LaVine didn't play. You know, Selden, maybe he's a guy who could be a piece for the Bulls that they want to keep around. I believe Selden's a restricted free agent this summer. Is that correct?
I am not positive about that. I will check. On a note about TLC, I do believe because he had his fourth-year team option was declined by the Thunder or the Sixers, whichever team. I believe it was declined. So I think the Bulls' biggest offer for him this summer is something like $2.5 million. But, like, I mean, honestly, this guy's not going to do enough where anyone's going to give him, like, more than the minimum. So, like, I feel like if he actually did show out a bit and the Bulls wanted to pay him, $2.5 million wouldn't be that much. Wayne Selden, yes, it looks like he will be a restricted free agent. He's got a $1.9 million qualifying offer after this season.
I would give him that qualifying offer. I like Selden.
Yeah, I mean, that trade is looking like a complete heist. Really, like the Grizzlies.
They got Wayne Selden and 2 second-round picks from Memphis. Now Memphis's second-round pick is going to be pretty high. I'm pulling up. I guess Tankathon doesn't have the second round, do they?
I mean, either way, I mean, the Grizzlies are going down the drain.
They do. It's 36 right now. It would be the 36th pick from Memphis, and they get Selden, and the Grizzlies have gotten nothing from Justin Holiday. Now the Grizzlies are looking to sell off all their pieces. So dare I say, is this a top five Garpax move of the last like 5 years, trading Justin Holiday for Wayne Selden and 2 second-rounders? It's like so low stakes, but we know the Bulls never actually make a trade to like bring in talent and improve themselves. So this counts as a great trade for the Bulls, I feel like.
I absolutely agree. Like we said we liked it when it happened, and it's looking even better. I think Holiday's finally started to come around like a little bit with his shooting, but he started and was absolutely terrible. Like he was so bad. But even now, even if he starts to be a little better, the Grizzlies are clearly going into the tank. They've lost a ton of games since they started well. Like Gasol and Conley might be traded. Like I'm pretty sure they're just going down the drain. So yeah, this is a great trade for the Bulls. So the Justin Holiday trade getting. I'm kind of surprised the Grizzlies did it. I know Selden wasn't really doing that much for them this season, but he was pretty solid for them last year. And like Holiday's like fine. Like he's a solid player. Like I thought he'd fit nice on a contender, but like to give up like a decent young guy in Selden plus the 2 second-rounders, I thought it was kind of weird for a team that was already kind of slumping. So the Bulls, good credit to them for taking advantage of kind of probably a desperate team trying to make a move and improve themselves to possibly make a run before making a decision on their long-term with guys like Gasol and Conley, and the Bulls took advantage of it. So kudos to them. We said some good things about them.
Yeah, I think the thing with TLC is they're just trying to, you know, TLC and Selden. Selden's had a little bit of success. The Bulls trying to replicate that, with TLC. Now, I think that's definitely a gamble worth taking for the Bulls. So I like that move. Of course, we have to make fun of them for cash considerations also coming back in that trade. I think the Bulls have hit the maximum
For, I believe so. It's like $5.2 million, I believe.
Yeah, they've hit the maximum for the amount of cash you can take back for 1 year. So congratulations, Bulls. We could have done a mock trade deadline podcast right here, Jason, where we like trade off Carter and Markkanen and Levine just for cash considerations coming back. That would have been pretty good. But we can't even do that joke in good faith because the Bulls have already hit the league's maximum for incoming cash. So
hey, $5.2 million. That sounds awfully similar to like what Fred Hoiberg is set to make next year. Maybe so they'll be using that bit to help pay off Fred. And speaking of that, Fred was apparently seen at Warriors practice today, so that's a lot of fun. I'm sure he's sharing some Bulls secrets with Steve Kerr. Like that really matters. But I thought that was kind
of
funny.
Yeah, well, we're not going to comment on anything happening outside of our building, Jason. So let's just move on.
Whoa! Moving on.
You know, I guess the other big thing happening in the league right now, obviously the Anthony Davis trade rumors. This has been going on. John and I touched on it on our last podcast. We already knew that he wasn't an option for the Bulls, but I guess the one new piece of information to come out today, Jason and I are recording this on a Monday, is that Davis would be willing to re-sign a long-term deal with some teams other than the Los Angeles Lakers. The Boston Celtics? No, not one of them. Of course not, which just put the big smile on my face. I think anyone who remembers my Bulls and Six piece back in the day during the prime of the Three Alphas era will remember my distaste for the Boston Celtics in general. But, you know, some teams on that list, the Clippers, the Knicks, and then obviously the Lakers, and also the Bucks. So the Bucks being on this list and the Bulls being nowhere near it, Jason, it's just poetic, isn't it?
I guess it really is. Like, I mean, the Bucks do have Giannis, so like they do have a legitimate superstar, and like the Bucks have like no path to actually get Davis with just the way their contracts are set up. But still, like the Bucks like feels like the Bulls' little brother up north for so long. And now they have the best record in the league. They have an MVP candidate, and now they're on Anthony Davis's list. It's just like such a slap in the face. Like at this point, I wouldn't even hate any Bulls fans that basically jumped on the Bucks bandwagon for a few years until the Bulls actually get good, whenever that may be again. So like the Bucks, they just really have it rolling right now. They're in a great position. They're a ton of fun to watch. Like I said, they got an awesome superstar in Giannis. Now they have other superstars potentially wanting to play with them, even though Davis obviously isn't going to the Bucks, but just the fact that they're on that list that's a big deal for them.
Well, I did see this one mock trade that was successful by the trade machine from someone on Twitter. It had Chris Middleton, Malcolm Brogdon, Thon Maker, DJ Wilson, Dante DiVincenzo in first round picks in 2021 and 2023 going to the Pelicans in return for Anthony Davis, Trent Frazier, and Cheek Diallo. I don't know, like the Bucks just have such a good mix right now. Like the Bucks are pretty much straight crushing teams. It seems like a lot of people believe that like the Bucks are playing over their heads a little bit, and that you know, if you polled NBA Twitter, I think that people would be thinking maybe that the Celtics have a better chance than the Bucks to win the East. But I saw this tweet from Mike Prada at the end of January. He said the Bucks have the NBA's best record, by far the East's best point differential, and are 7-3 against the East top three plus Golden State. I have my subjective qualms, but I've wondered for a while if I'm overthinking this. Bucks just might be a juggernaut hiding in plain sight. So I wonder, like, giving up all those pieces, and it was Brogdon and DJ Wilson and obviously Middleton, who's going to be a free agent at the end of the year, along with DiVincenzo and Thon Maker. You know, I wonder if how much better that really would make them. And this probably sounds crazy, because if you pair AD with Giannis, that would just be the most amazing 1-2 superstar punch since prime LeBron and Wade. But really, the league in general, I feel like, has kind of shifted to become one where like you're only as strong as your weakest link. And if the Bucks really just killed their depth and killed this roster that fits so well together for Davis, I don't really know how much better that would make them this year. Am I being totally crazy about this and I'm just overthinking it? AD and Giannis would just be the favorite to win the East immediately, but maybe the Bucks are already that this year right now.
Yeah, I mean, in terms of this year, it's hard to be much better, at least like regular season wise. Like you said, like
75% of their games, they're 38-13.
They're on pace to win over 60 games. I appreciate their point differential right now is pretty historically good.
It's over the recent decade.
Yeah, like it's by a lot, I'm pretty sure. So like, I mean, this, it could be a regular season thing. I mean, they're going to be good. Obviously, they're going to be a good playoff team. They have Giannis. Middleton's obviously very good. Bledsoe has been playing really well. DJ Wilson has come out of nowhere. Like, the dude was – I really liked him coming out of Michigan, and, like, he didn't play at all last year, and I don't think he played much at the beginning of this year. And, like, he's come out of nowhere and just been great. I guess you worry about the playoffs. I mean, Middleton was awesome in last year's playoffs in that first-round series. Maybe you worry those other guys won't be as good in the playoffs, and a team like the Celtics, maybe they're better set for a playoff setting. Maybe, I don't know. I mean, it's tough to say because, I mean, the Bucks have just been so good. It's not like they're winning a bunch of fluke games. They are beating the shit out of teams. So, like, I really don't know. Like, I feel like trading for AD would obviously, they'd still be really good. And then the long-term play, obviously, if you're pairing Giannis and AD and it's a way to help keep Giannis long-term as well. Like, and you pair those two guys together for the next 5-6 years. Like, I mean, obviously that's the draw there for the long-term play over the short-term. In terms of, like, just this year, it'd be hard to get much better than the Bucks are right now. But like I said, it's a great position to be in. Like, either we have the best record in the league right now with a superstar and a really nice core around him, or we have Giannis and AD moving forward for a long time. Like, that's a pretty damn good position to be in. Much better than the Bulls.
Yeah, like, let's talk about you know, another piece of Bulls related trades news to come out this week, which is that the Bulls only have two untouchables on the team in Lauri Markkanen and Wendell Carter Jr. That report came from Zach Lowe, correct, on ESPN. And basically the point of that was to say that, you know, it's open season on Zach LaVine and Chris Dunn, that, you know, that those players are attainable in a trade from the Bulls right now. I have a bunch of thoughts on this. First of all, Markkanen and Carter should be on the table. Like, to make them untouchable just doesn't make any sense, but obviously you would need a huge return.
Yeah, I mean, I think in a scenario like that, like, obviously they're not totally untouchable. Like, obviously if you try to actually make a play for Anthony Davis, at least one of those guys is going away. But, like, I mean, besides him, like, I don't really know who else is available where it would make sense to trade either of those guys besides Davis.
Yeah, we know that Davis didn't have the Bulls. Like, Davis doesn't want to play for the Bulls. But what if the Bulls hit the lottery? And if this trade thing goes back, you know, if the Pelicans hold on to Davis into the offseason, then do the Bulls draft Zion and then trade Markkanen and Carter for Anthony Davis? They'd also, you know, have to match some salaries, maybe take back a bad contract too, but... I mean, is that possible? Is that on the table? Would that change AD's perception of the Bulls front office, the way they're run, if you could play with Zion Williamson? I think that's kind of interesting to think about.
It is interesting. I guess in that situation, I would think the Pelicans demand Zion in that case over Carter.
To me, that's a better pairing probably than Lonzo and Ingram, right? Obviously, that's up for debate, but...
I mean, it's close at the very least.
And I like Lonzo.
Ingram has been playing a bit better lately without LeBron. He clearly just, with LeBron there, just doesn't really work. He's been playing a little bit better lately, but still, he's just, I don't want to say he's bad. It just seems like, I don't know if he's ever going to really live up to what everyone thought he was going to be. The shooting is just so questionable. I don't know. Like, and Lonzo's, he's been injury plagued. He's got his own questions in terms of shooting. His free throws are off. Like, it is... all these young guys have their flaws. So it definitely is, at least if the Bulls could put together a really nice offer for Anthony Davis, if they really wanted to get frisky and go all in and make a play for Davis. I mean, I don't think I could, like,
that would be sick.
I couldn't go get it because like even with the risk of him leaving after a year, like, I guess at this point, like, what are you really like bailing on? Like, if it all fell apart and the Bulls made a go all in for Anthony Davis and then he leaves in a year, like, I guess at this point, like, what are you losing out on? You're just right, basically back to where you were with a terrible team. Like, obviously the Bulls have some nice young pieces, and maybe this young core could do something. But right now, it does not look very promising. So, like, if you cash in on Davis, maybe try to sell him on sticking around. Maybe use your cap space to get another good player or two. I mean, maybe it works out. Like, it would at least be a big risky move that we've kind of criticized the Bulls for really not making in the past. I mean, I wouldn't hate it. If it flopped.
Like, I'd at least give him credit for trying. That would be incredible. But from Davis's perspective, yeah. I feel like it would only maybe even make a little bit of sense if the Bulls also got Zion out of it.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, I mean, if you were somehow able to pair Zion and AD and then use cap space to, I don't know who you would sign. If you go after Kemba or something, or you try to pry away Middleton from the Bucks, I don't know why he would leave at this point, but I mean, they would have some flexibility to make something happen. I mean, I don't know if LaVine would still be part of the process here, but if LaVine was like your third option in this case, it would look a lot better. I mean, they do have the possibility of making things interesting, but it sure doesn't seem like that's really on the table.
All right, well, the Bulls are not getting Anthony Davis because the Bulls are trashing Anthony Davis.
As much as we like to pie in the sky ideas, we want to believe that maybe it could happen. It'd be a lot of fun if it did happen. It'd be fun for us to talk about. But yeah, I guess probably try to move on to maybe more realistic trade scenarios with the trade deadline coming up Thursday.
I want to ask you what you make of Zach LaVine's name potentially being in trade rumors. Do you think Zach LaVine gets moved in the offseason? Like, is Zach LaVine on the Bulls next year? Does he get moved in the offseason, potentially get moved before the trade deadline? I think he has a no trade clause, right, for this season.
I am not sure about that. I know, like, his trade date was a little later, but I'm pretty sure he can be traded out. And I'm honestly not sure about that. I would have to look that up, but I haven't seen anything about him needing to sign off, but he might. But to answer your question, I honestly do think LaVine will be on the team next year. I think he's done enough where the Bulls aren't going to bail on him right away, unless like they get like a huge offer. Like, I'm not saying he shouldn't be untouchable. They should be listening to trade offers for him, like Zach Lowe said. Lowe did also say that he doesn't think that either LaVine or Dunn would be traded. And like I said, I would be pretty shocked if LaVine is traded before this deadline. I'd be kind of surprised if he's traded in the offseason. I think he gets next year at least to see if he can make any more progress, especially on defense, because he's still so talented offensively. But I think if things go south next season as well, I think that's when you would possibly see him being shopped around a little more aggressively. But I think right now, I think LaVine's pretty safe. If they do trade him, I wouldn't hate it. Like, LaVine's a fun player to watch, but it does kind of seem like he's more – right now, empty stats guy because his defense is bad. And we've seen the Bulls kind of strange. You mentioned that he missed the game that the Bulls won against the Heat. And this was, again, the Bulls. I don't know how I didn't see the game. I don't know if it was more the Heat playing or the Bulls playing good defense, the Heat being terrible, maybe a combo of both. But I believe the Bulls are under boiling now, something like 4-2 with LaVine sideline. And like all these games have been games where they've held teams to like 90-ish points. And when LaVine's played, I think they're like 3-20 with him under Boylan. So like, you do still wonder how LaVine affects actually winning, and as opposed to just getting all these stats, putting up pretty stats, getting sweet dunks and all that kind of stuff. So like, there is still a question mark about LaVine. I personally, again, don't think he's going to be traded now, and I still think he'll be on the team at the start of next year.
I think it's possible he gets traded over the offseason. For one, because he was most likely the guy who was leading the charge during the mutiny against Boylan, or the purported mutiny. And then he's been critical of Boylan ever since he became the head coach. So I wouldn't be surprised if John Paxson is just like generally disappointed in Zach LaVine right now. And you look at the numbers, averaging a career high 22 points a game. He's still been scoring over 20 points every month. It's not like he just had a great start and then since then hasn't been scoring. I mean, you look at his January numbers, 21.5 points a game, 46% from the field, 35.7% from three. Also had 3 assists per game over the month. So I think that, you know, LaVine, he's just terrible on defense, and it's a shame because he is a really talented scorer. There's no doubt about that. I do think that they're could perhaps be something to the Bulls seeming to play better with him out of the lineup, at least since Boylan's been the coach. And it's like I said with the Bucks, it's like I do think kind of the thing in the NBA these days that a lot of people don't realize is that you're only as strong as your weakest link, and the teams are just targeting LaVine defensively relentlessly when he's on the court. And I think that that has been a reason the Bulls defense hasn't, you know, been any good this year. So obviously, the Bulls have a lot of problems. Zach LaVine at this moment is still part of the young core. I mean, the guy doesn't even turn 24 years old until March. So that puts in perspective just how young LaVine is. And a lot of times guys come into their own, you know, just later. Now that, you know, he's been in the league for what? This is his fifth year in the league?
Fifth year. But he basically lost a season because of his injury. I mean, he basically lost 2 seasons because of the injury. Like last year was just him working his way back. He lost most of his maybe third season because of the ACL. So like, he has had some setbacks there, and he's still trying to figure out his way Yeah, I don't. Like I said, I'm not out on Zach LaVine yet, just because I think he is just a really has so much potential offensively. Still, was he so young and he's had these setbacks, and he's shown the ability to take over games at times. He's a tough shot maker. Just those flaws might be too much to look past, but I'm not willing to give up on him yet.
Let's talk about your favorite player on the Bulls, Jason, Chris Dunn struggled against Charlotte and Kemba Walker when Kemba went off for, 37 that game. Chris Dunn only 7 points on 3 of 11 shooting from the field. Chris Dunn, I mean, it's been the book on him for a while, but the guy doesn't shoot three-pointers. He doesn't get to the foul line. On the season, 1.7 attempts per game from three-point range. He's hitting 35%. So Chris Dunn, I mean, if this year's about development, Chris Dunn should be taking 5 threes a game at minimum. And then the free throw thing is tough too, because you would think he's so long and athletic that he should be able to get to the rim and at least try to fool people into fouling him, but he can't get to the foul line at all. I do have to say Dunn has been making his free throws this year. He's up to 79% on his free throws. So his shooting numbers are up across the board. You're still not sold on Chris Dunn whatsoever, Jason. Where do you sit with Dunn right now?
No, yeah, I'm not totally out. I still think he's a decent NBA player. But like you mentioned, like his raw shooting numbers, like the field goal percentage, 3-point percentage, free throw percentage, they are up across the board. But when you take it all into account, when you take into the attempts, the true shooting percentage, which is a better reflection of just overall efficiency, I believe is pretty similar to what it was last year. Let's see. Yeah, so he's actually down. So his rookie year was basically throw it out. He was really, really awful. Last year, 48.8 true shooting percentage, which is well below league average. I believe the league average is around like 54 maybe. This year it's 48.7, so it's basically around the same. It's tough to have a starting point guard in the NBA who doesn't shoot threes or get to the line. Like, it'd be one thing if he didn't shoot a lot of threes, but he was just a beast getting to the line. I really don't understand how he can't get to the line. Like, he's athletic, like you said, he's long, he's quick, like he can get to the lane like a decent amount. He just never shoots damn free throws. Like, it's really bizarre. And just I don't want to say he's taken an actual step back this year. There just really hasn't been a step forward. I know he had the injury again at the beginning of the year, has set him back a bit, and he's dealt with injuries both seasons with the Bulls. He's dealing with another injury right now, a pelvic injury. Jim Boylan said it's not that serious. That just to me says that he's going to miss like the next three or four weeks, because the Bulls have been awful with injuries this year. But yeah, just in general, like, I'm just not feeling Chris Dunn as the point guard of the future right now. Like, I don't want to totally bail on the guy just because, like you said, like, sometimes it just happens for them later. But Chris Dunn's going to be 25 in March. This is year three for him. That's a lot. Year three is a lot of the times when you do see that big jump, and we're just not seeing it. Do you feel any differently? Like, do you still have faith in Chris Dunn being the Bulls point guard when they're good again?
Well, the shooting improvement is interesting. So, like, if this year actually was about development and Hoiberg was still the coach, and what if Dunn was taking 5 threes a game, like, is Dunn stagnating because of the system where the Bulls are playing this slow-ass offensive system where Jim Boylan would rather win points in the paint than, you know, have his guys take a league average or greater than that amount of three-pointers per game? Boylan probably loves the fact that Chris Dunn just wants to pull up for those mid-range twos all day. You know what I mean? So I wonder, like, if Dunn was in a more quick-hitting system and if taking more three-pointers was emphasized, if he would look better, because the shooting percentages have improved. Every year he's been in the league, they're at their best they've ever been right now. I mean, when he was a rookie, playing limited minutes under Tibbs, of course, but
he was awful. He was terrible.
He shot 61% at the foul line, and now he's at 79%. So that's a legitimately big improvement. Same thing from three. He shot 28% or 29% from three his rookie year, and now he's at, 35.5%. So it is trending up. He's got to just be like a more high IQ player, though, and part of that means valuing the right shots on the floor. I still think that until he proves that he can actually be a catch and shoot threat, until he proves that, you've got to play him on the ball. And when you're playing him on the ball, I think you're putting a hard ceiling on your team's overall success. So, if the question is Chris Dunn going to be the Bulls point guard the next time they're good? First of all, the Bulls might be trash for like a decade. And I feel like
this
that's
is very
totally
true.
On the table. Like, the Kings and the Magic and some of these other teams were bad forever, even though they were picking in the top 10 of the lottery. And the Bulls this year, it looks like they're going to have, you know, a pick that's better than 7, we hope. I guess that's not guaranteed either, because as of right now, the Bulls they'd be fourth in the lottery right now, it looks like. Is that correct? Yeah, they'd be
Yes, they have fourth worst record.
Yeah, so, I mean, then you could fall all the way to 8, I think, right? Because if you could, the first pick would fall to 5, so they could hypothetically fall to 8. So, no, I don't think Chris Dunn's going to be the Bulls' point guard the next time they're good, but also the next time the Bulls are good could be when me and you are in our 40s.
Very true. I guess so, like, if the Bulls look to, if they take offers, like, one problem with that now is I feel like his value just isn't very high at this point. Like, you'd be probably selling kind of low on him. Like, I don't even know what you would get in a trade for Chris Dunn. Like, could you get a first round pick? Like,
no way.
Would you get like another decent young player? Like, so I guess one of the other, just I was tying into Chris Dunn, like one of the other rumors that was out there recently was that if the Lakers trade Lonzo Ball in a Anthony Davis trade, that I think the Los Angeles Times reported this, that Ball would prefer to go somewhere like the Bulls or the Knicks or another team. I know LaVar Ball came out and said today that he wants to go to the Suns. But like, I guess it's like a hypothetical. Like, would you try to go and get in on Lonzo Ball in a situation like that? And would you rather have him over Chris Dunn for the long term? Like, how would you feel about that? Because I'm not super high on Lonzo at this point, but like, I mean, he is much younger, and this is only his second year. Like, I don't know. I feel like that'd be an interesting conversation as well.
Yeah, Wilms and I actually went in depth on that on the last episode of Cash Considerations while you were trapped in Disney World. So I don't know how much more we need to go into that, but I do think it would probably be a move worth making for the Bulls, for sure, just because I think that, you know, Lonzo is a superior passer and playmaker, even though Dunn's assist rate has been higher this year and, you know, every year of Ball's career so far. So that's pretty interesting. I do think that the Bulls, you know, potentially that would be a good idea for them if they want to get a look at some new guys, if they've decided that, you know, Chris Dunn isn't going to be the point guard for them long term. But what I want to see from Chris Dunn is him to actually develop this year, and that's just by taking more three-pointers, because I want to see if the shooting improvement is real or not.
That improvement is there theoretically, but like the volume is so low. It might just be kind of random, just the sample size. So we really just don't know, because like there have been some games, I can't remember which game I saw the highlights of it with Dunn when I was gone, where he put up like 3 or 4 threes and like they were all just bricks. But then he has like all these handfuls of games where he goes like 1 of 1 or like 1 of 2, and that like that helps make like the numbers look better. If he's like, I guess like, because if he's only like taking like wide open threes, like if you're shooting 36% on like wide open threes, like, and that's not that great either. Like, that's why I definitely agree. Like, he needs to, if guys are going under screens, he needs to look at shooting more three-pointers. He, instead of just like hesitantly going around screens, and take the three-pointer instead of pulling up for the mid-range, like drive more to the back. I don't know. He's just got to do something other than jacking out so many of these mid-range jumpers. Like, if they're going to give him three-pointers, he's got to not hesitate, because I remember just some of the games that I've seen before I went on the trip, when he would get the ball wide open out on three-point land and he would hesitate, he would pump fake and then like dribble into a terrible shot. Like, that's just the stuff, kind of stuff that can happen. We need to see him taking more three-pointers, even if he misses some, even if some are ugly. Like, we need to see if it's real, because if it's not and he keeps doing stuff like this and he keeps playing this way, like, it's just not going to work.
All right, so let's talk about other trade possibilities for the Bulls at the deadline this year. I would love to see them try to acquire a first-round pick by taking on a bad contract that would be guaranteed through next year. I don't think the Bulls are going to hit it big with their cap space this offseason, because everyone has cap space. And the last time the Bulls had cap space, they gave $20 million to Jabari Parker. So maybe hoarding cap space isn't exactly the Bulls' best plan of attack here. So that's what I would like to see. In terms of the guys already on the roster right now, I mean, you know, Jabari Parker and Robin Lopez are going to be the two most talked about involved in trade rumors. Jason, do you think that either of those two guys are moved? Do you think someone else gets moved? And, you know, do you expect to hear the Bulls, who have already been involved in the trade market quite a few times this season, granted, never for doing anything more than for taking cold, hard cash, you know, do you expect the Bulls to be involved again now that they've hit their limit for cash intake on the season?
I mean, they definitely should be active. I mean, we've heard about rumors with Jabari and Lopez for a while now. Like, there was some stuff with the Knicks and Jabari Parker. And Jabari has looked better lately as well. Like, I think we talked about this before. Like, he's slimmed down a bit. He's had some really nice games. There was a new rumor, I believe Brian Windhorst put it out there, that the Lakers and Bulls have talked about Jabari and something with, like, a Kentavious Caldwell-Pope for Jabari swap. I'm kind of confused about that. I'm not really sure why the Lakers would do that. I mean, I guess the Bulls, if they were able to do that straight up, I mean, I guess they would do that too. That would make them maybe a little bit. I'm not even sure. I feel like that's kind of a weird trade. Because I feel like the Bulls, if they do trade Jabari, they might want to get maybe like a second round pick out of it. If they try to take on like a longer term contract, which I guess there's really no evidence that that's going to happen right now. I would like to try to get a first round pick by trading either Lopez or Jabari and taking on a contract in the next year. I know, like, I feel like we've talked about like the Brandon Knight thing. The Rockets are looking to attach a first round pick to Brandon Knight, who's making like 15-ish million next season as well.
Take that, Bulls.
Yeah, like I feel like that would make a lot of sense. Like, I don't know if the Rockets really have much interest in Jabari or Rolo. I thought maybe Rolo after Capella got hurt, but then they went out and got Kenneth Freed. They might look maybe if they get DeAndre Jordan on the buyout market. I don't know. I feel like Jabari and I would guess Rolo, if he's not traded, he's going to get bought out. I feel like that seems like common sense. Like, there was the report that he wanted to get bought out, like immediately go sign with the Warriors. I feel like that would just be the right thing to do with Rolo. He's gone through a couple really just brutal years, rebuilding years. He took one for the team last year by basically sitting out while they were tanking. I feel like cutting Rolo loose if they don't trade him and just letting him hit the buyout market to sign wherever, I think makes sense. Jabari, maybe a little more interesting. Like, it seemed like he was completely done with the Bulls a couple weeks ago when he was out of the rotation. But now that he's back playing a bit more and he's been looking a little healthier, like, obviously I feel like they are trying to showcase him for a trade. And I feel like some team might be willing to give up a second round pick just because he has looked a little better. He can be a guy off the bench. He's not totally useless in the current form he is right now. So I guess if you can get a second for Jabari, I would be totally fine. Like, they won't get a first for either guy unless they do take on that longer term deal. And I would think maybe, hopefully, but I guess besides those two guys, I think the Bulls should look into trading Bobby Portis as well. He's been great lately. Maybe he's finally starting to get his legs under him because he's had the injury problems this year. Because this was a contract year for Bobby. He turned down the extension this past offseason. That was something I think around like $50 million guaranteed. The Bulls have their front court of the future right now in Markkanen and Carter. They might not want to pay a lot of money for a seventh man, a third power forward. Like, I think the Bulls can get a first-round pick for Bobby. You talked about wanting to get a first-round pick. Do you think any team would offer up a first for Portis? I've thought about the Sixers as an option there. Like, and the Sixers need depth. They don't have much depth. They could use the shooting, and their pick will be in the area where the Bulls picked Portis. But I feel like that wouldn't be a bad move to make. What do you think about that?
I don't know why a team would give up a first-rounder for him when he's a restricted free agent. I guess you have the right to match, obviously, but like, you know, are the Bulls even going to match a contract on Bobby Portis? You could just get him in the summer and keep your pick. So,
well, I mean, I guess a team like the Sixers, just like, they're trying to win now. Like, maybe they think that Portis can help them make a deep playoff run, and I feel like the Sixers probably still have a bunch of second rounders. I'm not totally sure their pick situation. They're obviously trying to cash more in now. They made the trade for Butler. They have their three studs for right now. Depending on what happens with Butler, they have a couple other guys in place. I mean, that's just kicking around out there. I know they'll look at the buyout market. I mean, they hit the buyout market big last year, which really helped them. And maybe they'd be willing to put it on the table because it is going to be in the 20s. I don't know. I certainly would not trade Portis just to trade him. I think if it would be fine to go into the summer with him, if negotiate with him some more, maybe match a contract. But I feel like if a first round pick is on the table for him, I would do that in a heartbeat.
Yeah, I wonder if Houston would take him, right? Like, as part of that Brandon Knight deal where there's a first-rounder coming back to the Bulls, maybe Bobby Portis could help Houston.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like he could help. I mean, he's certainly got value. He really struggled a bit when he was, like I said, he's had the injury problems. But, I mean, these last two games, you see what he can do. I mean, he can really shoot. He can get really hot. We know he's a bit of a gunner. But, I mean, the guy has value as a stretch big. His defense is also mostly terrible. But, like, as a guy off the bench, microwave score, like, the guy obviously has value in the league. Like, whether that's first round pick value, maybe Houston would be willing to take that, because I feel like the Rockets probably will be looking to go, I guess, all in again. Like, they have to do what they can now with Harden having an incredible season, with CP3 is only getting older. Like, the time is now for them. So maybe they would be willing to do something like that. I don't know. They're definitely a team that I feel like the buyout market is just makes some of this maybe even more difficult, because like there's all these players that might just end up getting bought out. And so these teams don't have to give up any assets, and they'll just set up in the buyout market and try to sign a guy or two, and that'll help them. I feel like the buyout market just really is just kind of weird, just how all these like good players just get released from teams and wind up on like title contenders.
Yeah. Didn't the Sixers get Ilyasova and
Bellinelli? Yeah. That was huge for them. Like they were, that was really good.
Yeah. So anything else you expect or anything you would like to see out of this Bulls trade deadline?
I guess not really. I mean, that's just kind of the main stuff. Like, I feel like after the deadline is over, I feel like Lopez for sure should be gone. Jabari probably as well. They should shop Bobby. They should shop Chris Dunn. I don't think there will be anything crazy. Like, I'd be totally fine just if the Bulls are able to get a couple more picks, even if it's not a first-round pick. Just kind of set up for the rest of the season, set up the tank for the rest of the season, and let whatever young guys left, just let them play it out. And I mean, that's kind of really all I want. I feel like it's just hard to see them making any legitimately big moves that would really help like long term. I feel like it's all just going to be smaller stuff. Like, have you thought about any other like maybe kind of under the radar big moves they could make that would help them more? I mean, I guess they don't really want to improve that much this season, but like,
yeah, I think, you know, getting TLC and Seldon are their equivalent of like making under the radar moves. So, you know, I think that's probably about it.
Yeah, because I feel like they don't want to be that much better this season. Like the only way they would make a trade that would like really, I feel like really improve them this season would be if it was like for a legitimate stud who they would have under contract for a while that could like really help them take a step forward. I guess here's a question that one of my followers at K.Mart asked. He said, if the Pelicans trade Anthony Davis and they look to shop Drew Holiday, like, would you trade LaVine and Dunn for Drew Holiday? Would the Pelicans do that? Like, would you have any interest in a move like that? I feel like even like Mike Conley was brought up. I feel like I've seen people talk about Mike Conley I wouldn't do that because he's old and he's had injury problems and he's got a huge contract. But like, would you look at trying to make a point guard upgrade like that with more of a veteran player to try to help a guy like Lowry? Like, the Bulls are just kind of in a weird spot in terms of like getting a player like that, where I feel like I don't know how much sense it would make.
Yeah. I would sort of like getting Conley. I'm looking up his contract right now, but I do think that, you know, potentially that could be a good move for the Bulls. Conley under contract next season at age 31 at $32 million. And then, it looks like he has a 2020-2021 early termination option for $34 million. So yeah, I mean, I would get Mike Conley. And if you get Mike Conley now, I don't think that you're moving the tank standings too much. Really, you would have him for next season. But, you know, the Bulls, they're in fourth right now at 12-41. The way the lottery works, again, the top three teams all get a 14% chance at the number one pick. The fourth team would get a 12.5% chance. The fifth team, which right now is Atlanta, they have five more wins than the Bulls at 17-35. They'd have a 10.5% chance. So, you know, if they were to actually acquire a good basketball player like Mike Conley, yeah, I mean, you could have him for next season and you still wouldn't hurt the tank too much. But then again, like, what are the Bulls actually trying to accomplish next season too? You know what I mean? Conley in his 30s wouldn't exactly like move the needle for the Bulls long term, because right now, which is when Mike Conley is poised to help them, the Bulls wouldn't be able to win.
Right. Yeah. That's why it's in a tough spot. I guess just like the whole tank race. I don't know if you guys talk about this. I know like it is certainly better. We want them to get Zion. It would be for the better. But I know like Stefan Noh wrote a thing at The Athletic recently that I saw, I think when I was on vacation, just talking about how like with these new odds, like how them like winning some games here and there, like isn't the total worst thing, just because like, and we want them to get top three, but like, even if they finish fourth, I know that that hurts their like, where they could end up like dropping to like eight or nine. But like, if they ended up finishing fourth right now, like there's like a 1.5% less chance or percentage points less than if they finish in the top three. So like, there's just like, it's all going to end up like in so much, just so much luck anyways, where it's like, if they even win a few more games, if they somehow ended up saying like the fifth spot and said like, it would be pretty insane if they ended up going into the lottery any lower than fifth at this point, because like Memphis is sixth and the Bulls are like nine games ahead of Memphis in the tankathon standings.
Yeah, the Bulls are not even going to come back and pass up the Hawks.
Right, yeah. I mean, that's a 5.5 games right now. Like, I mean, the Bulls' schedule coming up isn't that tough. Like, maybe they get a few wins here and there, but the Hawks themselves have been playing pretty decent lately too. So, I mean, if they keep winning, the Grizzlies probably will come back to the pack a bit. But again, that's like a 9-game difference. So, like, it's going to take just a luck of the Lowry Balls anyway. So, I guess even if they do win like a few games here and there, like, if it's because of the Bulls' young players doing well, like, it's not the worst thing in the world. I think that was basically the whole point of what Stefan was getting at. It's like, well, like, I guess the other thing is just like, if you want them to lose enough where they have to dump Boylan, that's like a whole nother conversation. Because if they start winning a little better, playing a little better, they win a bit more, maybe that makes them want to keep Boylan going into next year. I know you don't think that should happen. It is just kind of, I think the Boylan situation kind of just makes the situation even stranger, I guess. Like, I don't know, the Bulls are just kind of in a strange spot to be in. Not really in a spot we wanted them to be in this season, being just so much worse than we thought they would be. Even though if they end up getting with Zion, it'll all be, I guess, much better in the end. But I don't know. It'll be interesting to see how this trade deadline goes and the rest of the season after it.
How about this? I just went to Tankathon, did the sim lottery. One sim, the Bulls fall down to 7. They fall down 3 spots.
God,
if that were to happen, it would be the 3rd year in a row they picked 7. And who gets number 1? Moving up 10 spots, the Dallas Mavericks.
Oh,
and
my.
Brian Williamson, Luka Doncic, and Kristaps Porzingis. That would be insane. Could you imagine that?
That would be a ton of fun. I would be very happy for Mavs fans, but the Bulls dropping to 7 would be super unfortunate.
That would be terrible. No, you can't have Luka and Zion on the same team. They need to be the man on their own teams, I think. And, you know, just looking at, the top of the lottery standings right now, the Knicks and the Suns are tied for the worst record. I feel like you can't put Zion in Phoenix. You definitely can't put him in Cleveland. I mean, the fact that RJ Barrett has taken 200 shots more than Zion Williamson on the season, he gets sentenced to 7 years in Cleveland. Like, where? Let the Cavs get the second pick and take RJ Barrett. Zion absolutely cannot go there. Hawks would be interesting. Kind of a bad sports town, Atlanta. I hate to say it. Memphis, too small market. Orlando, I mean, I guess they did have Shaq once, but I don't know. It's tough for me to see Zion in Orlando. Then you got Washington, Detroit. Basically, Zion has to go to the Bulls or the Knicks, Jason. He has to.
Rig it. Rig it. Rig the lottery.
Rig it for Zion, yeah. Is there anything else you want to talk about before we wrap this up?
I think that's about it. Yeah, I mean, hopefully it's going to be a fun week. Like I said, we got trade deadline coming up in a couple days. The Anthony Davis stuff is sure to be crazy. And on that note, as part of the Blue Wire Podcast Network here that Catch Consideration is a part of, we do have Lakers and Pelicans podcast. So if you're interested in some really good Anthony Davis trade talk, because it certainly feels like it's going to be Anthony Davis to the Lakers or Anthony Davis to nobody if there is a blockbuster trade at the deadline. So if you want to listen to some great trade talk there from those teams' perspectives, please go listen to Laker Film Room for the Lakers' perspective, and then also In the Know for the Pelicans' perspective. Great stuff here at Blue Wire Pod Network. A lot of fun. We're growing a lot, adding pods by the day. So please go check those out for tons of good trade talk and Anthony Davis.
Yeah, Blue Wire has been great for us, so make sure you check out the rest of the podcast in the network. One final shout out before we go. I'm going to give it to JB Bickerstaff, head coach of the Memphis Grizzlies, for this quote right here. Listen in. That's him saying Joakim Noah is fucking crazy after Noah was shoving around his teammates in a game last week. So that just put a huge smile on my face, as did the picture of D Rose, Luol Deng, Taj Gibson, and Noah when the Timberwolves played
so nostalgic.
The Grizzlies last week. So I think that, yeah, I don't know. It's weird to even talk about that era of the Bulls now. I think that because of the rape charge against Rose, that I have been less nostalgic than I would have been otherwise for those years and for those guys. Not that we want to get, super into that, but, that team did bring us so much joy in its day, Jason. And, we can only hope that the Bulls could someday build another team someday soon, could build another team that was as much fun to watch as that one was.
Yeah, I mean, just to see them all together again, just obviously just all that other stuff, like you mentioned aside with Rose, all that stuff still like brings a smile to the face, just because that was that team took Chicago by storm and they were a ton of fun to watch. Just, and all the guys love each other. They still all love each other now. And just, it's kind of great to see them getting back together like that. And Lou Alding, I think, is playing minutes again.
Is he? I haven't seen that.
I think he is. I at least I looked at a box score recently and I thought I saw that he, 20 minutes last game, 19 minutes game before that, 26 minutes game before that. So the, Ryan Saunders going with Lou Alding back in the Timberwolves rotation. And obviously Noah's been playing a bit with the Grizzlies. He got booed by the Knicks fans the other day. So fuck them for that. So I guess it's good to see those guys playing again, even if they are washed at this point.
All right. Well, that does it for us, huh? This has been Cash Considerations, the Chicago Bulls / Zion Williamson podcast. We're going to be back after the trade deadline, right, Jason?
Yeah, hopefully we will have some good stuff to talk about. Even if the Bulls don't do anything big, I'm sure there'll be some fun stuff to talk about at the trade deadline. So if we meander, start talking about other teams, if Davis gets traded, but hopefully the Bulls do some stuff so we can analyze some trades, some Bulls trades. But either way, yeah, we'll be back Thursday night, probably for Friday morning. We'll try to get it up as soon as possible, but until then, we got a couple days here. Hopefully things get pretty wild here over these next couple days. It's always a lot of fun doing trade deadline stuff.
Definitely. All right. For Jason, I'm Ricky. This has been Cash Considerations. Thanks for listening. Bye.
Bye.
It's happening daily. We're being conned by the institutions we used to trust. The mainstream media is distracting us with meaningless headlines instead of focusing on the harsh realities facing American families. Time is short before something big happens, and that's why so many folks are preparing. They're becoming self-reliant by investing in emergency food storage from My Patriot Supply. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure 4-week emergency food kits for each member of your family. Each kit contains tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Save $50 on each 4-week food kit you purchase. Plus, get free shipping on Ready Hour 4-week emergency food kits. You're not ready if it's not Ready Hour foods. At My Patriot Supply, you can also get solar power generators, water filtration units, heirloom seeds, and survival gear. Order by 3 p.m. and your unmarked boxes ship the same day. Shop MyPatriotSupply.com today. MyPatriotSupply.com.